Next is in the matter of Dwight Hugh Day. May we please have appearances of counsel?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Jason Saunders, First Assistant Ethics Counsel on behalf of the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Afternoon, Your Honor. Dwight Simon Day. Sorry, appearance
of counsel. Mr. Saunders, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice Ravner, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. This matter comes before the court as a certification of the record, simply stated the respondent defaulted the complaint filed by the Office of Attorney Ethics on October 1st, 2024. The facts and the law in this particular case are not in contested at this juncture. The DRB's well-reasoned decision and a recommendation of a six-month suspension in this particular matter are not disputed as reflected by the respondent's brief submitted on October 21st, 2025. The OA is going to focus its remarks on the conditions, conditions of discipline in this particular matter. The DRB recommended that the respondent submit himself to a trust and business course to be approved by the Office of Attorney Ethics. The OA concurs with that condition. The DRB also recommended that the respondent submit to the OAE outstanding financial records that were requested as part of the OAE's underlying investigation of the matter. The OAE also agrees with that. The OAE would also add that the respondent is the subject of a temporary suspension order as a result of failing to provide those requested records. And the OAE would request that, as a condition of this particular discipline, that the respondent be required to produce those records to the Office of Attorney Ethics, and that that be a bar to his reapplication for reinstatement until such time as he's produced those records. In addition to those two conditions that were recommended by the DRB, the OAE also requests that the respondent, following reinstatement, submit quarterly reconciliations for monitoring to the OAE for a period of at least 3 years, and also that the respondent, following reinstatement, should be required to practice law with a certified public accountant approved by the OAE, who shall be required to maintain those records on a monthly basis, as required by Rule 121-6. The OAE makes these additional recommendations not recommended by the DRB based upon the specific facts of this case, which don't warrant full recitation anew. However, I just want to observe that this matter arose from a random audit. That random audit followed prior disciplinary precedent that respondent was disciplined by this court for, was censured for financial misconduct in July of 2019. That case also involved failure to maintain records and also involved financial improprieties involving client funds. The respondent, needless to say, was on a heightened awareness of his obligations under Rule 121-6. It's the OAE's position that requiring a certified public accountant upon reinstatement would afford the respondent sufficient structure, sufficient guidance with regard to how to maintain these records, which will allow the public to be protected from future invasions of client funds. The respondent also has expressed to the Office of Attorney Ethics, in particular, the auditor that was assigned to this particular random audit, that in fact was a good idea. And he did that by way of an email communication with that auditor. The respondent also represented in the prior disciplinary matter by way of counsel that he in fact had hired a certified public accountant. And this investigation before the court now has determined that in fact was not true. So it's the OAE's position that the respondent should be held to his prior word that he made to this court that he would have to hire a certified public accountant. And it's only appropriate that he do so given that he represented to the court in the prior disciplinary matter that he in fact had done so, when that was not true. For the totality of respondent's misconduct, the OAE recommends the six-month suspension consistent with the board's recommendation, as well as a continuation of the order of temporary suspension that the court had previously ordered. With that, the OAE would respectfully submit to the court for any additional questions.
So, Mr. Saunders, what we're dealing with here at the heart of the matter is you subpoenaed records from the attorney trust account that turned up 27 checks for nearly $60,000 made payable to respondent himself. Are you in a position at this point, is the OAE in a position to know whether there's knowing misappropriation here?
We are not at this juncture able to state to the court with the necessary degree of to the standard of proof, clear and convincing evidence that the respondent knowingly misappropriated those funds. In order to establish that was knowing misappropriation, we need to identify the nature of those funds. We need to identify whether or not they were client funds or whether or not they were in fact earned fees of respondents. Because we have requested records from respondent regarding that and have not received them, we are unable to make that recommendation or make that charging decision with regard to knowing misappropriation. And that's particularly why we filed the motion for temporary suspension.
So
when we did.
Which has already been granted, of course. So I'm wondering what a suspension of 6 months accomplishes at this stage of the matter. Is it necessary at all? Is it far too light when we're dealing with the potential of having stolen money from a good number of clients or a large amount of money? What does the 6 month suspension achieve?
The 6 month suspension achieves the goals of the disciplinary system, which is to protect the public from lawyers who fail to conform themselves with the standards outlined under the rules of professional conduct. I recognize, I think, that the heart of your question, Chief Justice Ratner, is that for all intents and purposes, the continuation of the temporary suspension order and the fact that it's been in place since October, I believe it's October of 2023, and they may continue for the foreseeable future until such time as respondent cooperates with the OA, that for all intents and purposes, it makes it somewhat superfluous to the temporary suspension order. But I do think it's, notwithstanding the fact that it doesn't have an actual impact, I think it's important that that conduct still be held to the standard and he be held accountable for the conduct.
In a case, and I'm speaking generally now, that raises serious concerns, a particularly egregious set of concerns, would a heftier suspension, perhaps an indeterminate suspension, be appropriate?
Well, I certainly don't want to. The OA has made its recommendation by way of our brief to the court. I think the court would be justified in doing so. I think for all intents and purposes, the temp suspension order that's in place is going to do that, unless and until respondent provides the records that will establish what those $60,000 that he took out of the trust account and placed into other accounts of his own, until he provides that information to us, the temporary suspension order is going to essentially cover that. But I think the court would be justified in doing that and making that determination.
Questions, anyone? Thank you. Mr. Day.
Mr. Chief Justice and Associate Justices, I would just rely on my submission with for the audit to show cause that I submitted to the court. When this random audit came about, I was basically exiled from the country for personal family matters, the birth of my daughter through surrogacy, and so I wasn't here. I cooperated as much as I could with what I had, and everything was going fine when we had our meeting by Zoom. The OAE said, oh, you wrote this check for X amount. Who was it for or what client? I would not know that, off the top of my head. And I said, I didn't know. The conversation went right or left, rather. And he said, well, we're going to extend it back to 2000, whatever. So everything went downhill from there, because now I'm thinking you're going back to a period for which I was already punished. And you're trying to get two bites of the apple. So if you're extending it, we just had 2020 to 2022. That was the original thing. I hired a public accounting firm. They did half the records. I submitted half the records. The only reason the other half, I was working on that and I needed funds for it to pay them in order for them to produce it. But then throwing it back now to 2016 or whenever, and part of that already was included when the court censured me the first time, I thought was unfair or unjust. But I understand that I have the blade, they have the handle, and you know, I take full responsibility for not having the records in touch, but I was not in the country from May 2022. I came back in, I've been here like 3 months now. I couldn't come back because of whatever reason which is in my, I submitted them on the papers. So I agree, or I will accept, not necessarily that I agree with, the quarterly reconciliation for the 3 years of the accountant, that's fine. Taking the course, that's fine. Producing the records, you know, but I don't have all these records because at the last time when we had a matter, when it ended, I wasn't doing things on the computer. It was manual. So the box with all the paperwork is with the OAE already. And when I told this accountant, they were like, no, it wasn't covered. You're making a misrepresentation to the court. I'm like, am I insane or not? Because I know that a part of it overlapped. And the DRB found that there was some overlapping months. So I don't have those records to begin with to go back that far. And the 2 years that they were auditing me for, the 2020 to 22, that would have been fine. There isn't much activity after because I wasn't in the country. And even as I said, the present, but going back seems, you know, that's my only issue.
Let's try to clarify that, please. In the earlier matter, the OAE request records for the period from 2014 through 2015.
Right now, I don't remember the exact dates, but when he said to me, we're going back X number of years, there was some over, and in the DRB's report, they did find that there was an overlapping.
Have you given them records for that would explain the 27 withdrawals of nearly $60,000 in 2019 and 2021 and 22?
They have some of the records there because I was working on that, and half the records from 2020 to 2022, we were like halfway there already. So they have some of the records. And the whole matter.
I'm sorry, is it your position they have those records from the prior matter?
No, no. Okay. Some of the checks that are in question, because I produced records in the for the audit period from 2020 to 2022. That was, I would say, halfway there. They have those records, so I produced them. So when I was working on the other half to get to the 2022, the end or whatever period, that's when this wrinkle came that they're going back. Now, the whole matter about whole dollar amounts, I am a solo and I don't do hourly billing. All my fees are flat fee. So it's never going to be $1,212.80. You know, it's not point this. A client comes in and they're saying, okay, we're doing a closing. It's $1,800, it's $25, it's $2,000, so whatever. A divorce comes in, even though it's a family matter, and other attorneys, you know, colleagues say, Mr. Day, you know, you're part of the problem because you do flat fee billing and that's why they're not settling or whatever. But for me, it's easier to keep track. So if I say it's $35 to this matrimonial matter, it's going to be round dollars. All my fees are going to be like that.
You understand the court's concern.
I understand.
That there may be a theft of client funds in more than one case here. Is there anything, and you're not required to answer this, but is there anything you can tell us with respect to that concern?
In the 3.5 years that I haven't been here, someone would have come forward and said, Mr. Day stole my money. You know, we had a different matter where a client came forward. It was a real estate matter and we were able to resolve it because the check was found. It had gone to another attorney. It worked out. The another client came and said, it was a fee dispute, and the fee was returned by the, I don't know, the attorney or the the body that handles that. It was for $2,000. I presented my side. I said I met with the client. At least that was a consultation fee. I went to the USCIS with the client a few times. It was during COVID. He couldn't go by himself. I told them what I did, and they still said all the feedback to the client, nothing for you, zero. So those are the only two matters. People would not have said it if I stole their money for 3.5 years.
When will the records, the half that remain, be turned over to the OAE?
When would the what?
You haven't provided all the records they requested, is that correct?
Right, so, correct. I was working on the 2020 to 22, the audit period, the original period.
When will the records be ready to be disclosed?
Are you talking going back to all the years before prior?
Why don't you tell us what you have and when it'll be available?
So we stuck with the original audit period, 2020 to 2022. They could be produced, I would say, within 60 days or so.
You have an accountant working on them now?
There is a firm that I was using. They could complete it. The reason we stopped was because now it was expanded so far back, and that was the issue. But if we stuck to the original audit, yes, that can be completed.
So why, explain to me again why you didn't complete at least producing the records from the 2020 to 2022 request, because you said you were already halfway there. And it seemed like you're saying you were halfway there and on the road to being able to produce those, but then you stopped because you asked for more.
Right. The audit changed. The parameters changed now. So.
But if you were already in the process of producing the records from 2020 to 2022.
Because after they changed their position, it would not have made a difference because I would still not be in compliance because now it's going years back, not 1 year, 2 years going back. So.
But you
can. And I did not have the funds to continue to pay the accountant. That was another reason.
But I guess it just sounds like you decided just to do nothing as opposed to you were in the process of producing those records, you're saying, but once OAE expanded the time frame, you threw up your hands and decided, well, I'm not going to be in compliance anyway, and stopped.
I would not have been in compliance. Because now they're going back, so I would not have been in compliance either way.
But it's and only that they were going back because when you were before the court last time, you then issued a check for $1,000 payable to yourself 8 days after you appeared in court, correct? And that was after your attorney had said that you had an accountant who was working with you and that you understood how the record keeping was required to happen.
The two answers to that. So I did consult with a CPA. I did retain him. The only reason I even went to a CPA was because of the trust account. However, when I started with him, I was also going for a foreclosure matter in Superior Court. And so he helped or started to work on the P&Ls because I needed that for the court, for the matter. However, the original reason for the CPA was to do this.
You were before the court. Your attorney said that you had hired an accountant who was working through all this. And then 8 days later, you issue a check for $1,000 payable to yourself that you cannot explain what it was for.
Right. So what I'm saying is I would have to go back to look at that check as well. However, the CPA was hired. He didn't get to that part as yet. And it was not at the time when the attorney said that in court, it was true. I did go to him and retain him.
Then you have this payment for $1,000 8 days later that you cannot provide any explanation for.
Okay.
Is that correct, that there's no explanation that you can provide?
No, I'm sure the check said attorney fees. It's just, it needs to be, all these checks says attorney's fees. It has to be linked to the client. So And it's over a period of years. It's not like it was all written in a month or whatever. So it has to, you know, it says attorney's fees has to be linked to a client at the time. These 27 checks or whatever, they already have, I would dare say, half of the checks that were linked out to clients. And if I were allowed to continue to 2022, I'm sure a vast number of the checks would be accounted for as well.
But when you say allowed to, I mean, so this happened in 2019 originally when you appeared before the court and then issued the next $1,000 check 8 days later. And you've been allowed to ever since then.
No, the audit came in 2022. So
correct, but that was more than three years ago.
Right. But we weren't auditing that period. And I don't know, if you say to me, Mr. Day, you wrote a check for $1,000 on this date, I wouldn't know. You know what I mean? I wouldn't know.
But I guess the concern is it was right after you appeared in court for a charge of negligent, well, the final charge was negligent misappropriation of client funds, correct? Back in 2019, the prior case.
I understand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's not the case that I don't think it's reasonable to think that you were unaware of your responsibilities with your attorney trust account, that you were unaware of the fact that checks needed to be linked to a client matter to be issued. It seems very odd that several days after you just concluded a proceeding before this very court, an ethics proceeding that involved misappropriation of client funds, you begin issuing checks to yourself first in July of 2019, another one for $5,000 in August of 2019, September 2019, November 2019, right after you just finished this proceeding before the court involving misappropriation of client funds. So it seems odd that you have no idea what these checks were issued or why they were issued when you had just gone through a proceeding, an ethics proceeding involving misappropriation of client funds. Do you understand? It's difficult to understand why that would not be something you are aware of, issuing checks from your attorney.
And I never claimed I'm unaware. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a lot of the checks, most of these checks were written, let's say, I have provided, I don't know if counsel has the number of checks that were linked, like to subtract it. They already have the info because I provided it in the audit that was ongoing. And a lot more are in the period up to 20. So yes, there are a few from 2019 or going back, but they can be linked to a client. It has to be linked to a client. You know, it can't just be from thin air.
Mr. Day,
we know.
You were collecting flat fees on these matters. Are there outstanding matters that you did not complete that you collected fees on?
No, all my matters have ended. I don't owe any client money. And
do you know of any fee arbitrations that are pending against you?
No, they're done.
And were there any funds returned based on work that wasn't completed before the time that you were initially suspended?
I had one client that I returned fees to in Patterson on the matter. And
how long ago was that?
That I can recall now. In 2020, I would say 2023 or 2020. Yes, it was. That can be ascertained easily because it was like 2023. I knew I could not complete her matter and I sent it back to, I paid her back.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention to the court?
Yes, I understand the implications and that the high, you know, expectations for attorneys and it was has already been since 2023, October. It's ongoing. The recommendations, I'm not, you know, they're fine. My only issue is the audit period, if that could be set. Because that would give us a better parameter here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Saunders, would you come back to the podium, please? Can you clarify for the court what periods of time records were requested for and when those requests were made?
The original day one, as it's referred to in the DRB decision, that investigation, our subpoena, went through 2015. I don't have the specific month, but it was through 2015. In this matter, our subpoena was...
That was the earlier matter, correct?
The earlier matter. Okay. Our subpoena, our request and our subpoenas to the respective banks went back 7 years from the audit period, which would have, I believe that would have started in May of 23. I believe that would have been the time frame. And so, excuse me, yeah, either May of 23 or May of 22 when the...
Back 7 years from
yeah,
then?
Back 7 years. So the reason being the original audit period for random audit is a 2-year audit period.
When 13 to 15 originally? Correct. So now we've got basically 13 all the way to 23 cover? 22 or 23?
I don't know the original like date of day one. That's subpoena. I just know it ends in 2015.
January 1st, 2014 through June 17th, 2015. Is that possible?
That sounds correct. Yeah.
And then, sorry, you're saying now it was May of 2023, back 7 years. So that goes to May of 2016.
That's correct. Yeah.
In fact, respondent had produced records through July of 2016 in day one.
That is correct.
So what's missing now?
What's missing? Oh, I'll start with the 27 checks totaling approximately $60,000. We have no idea whether that's earned fees. We have no idea whether or not that is client funds, escrow funds.
When Mr. Day says he has already produced half the record, so you already have all the info for half the checks, that's incorrect?
That is incorrect. We have not received what we would require would be appropriate client ledger cards, which would have those check numbers on those client ledger cards, which would show the client's funds in the trust account, and we would need monthly reconciliations for the entire period. The reason being is we have to establish as a baseline whose funds, the entire spectrum of whose funds are in the trust account at any given moment, and then we can look at the specific clients associated with the 27 checks and establish whether or not those are in fact fees.
So you may also have some records for the period from July 2019 through April of 2022. Does that sound right?
I'm sure we have some bank statements. I'm sure he's provided us with some disbursement journals and things like that, but we don't have any explanation for what those 27 checks are that would satisfy us, satisfy the OAE with regard to whether or not those funds have been properly safeguarded.
Generally,
the reason, the reason we have to go back 7 years is when we're looking at a situation where there's a knowing misappropriation of client funds, we have to look before that conduct. We have to examine the flow of funds into the trust account to kind of understand what's in the trust account as of, say, for example, July of 2019, when that first $1,000 check went out. We need, in many instances, to go back and look at the transactions in earlier years to understand what should have been in the trust account at any given moment. And that's the reason why we subpoenaed back the 7 years, to cover to cover the period of July of 2019 going forward when those 27 checks were issued, and before that, so we can understand whose funds should have been in the trust account at that moment in time.
Is it fair to say that, generally speaking, those 27 checks were in the vicinity of between $1,000 and $5,000?
That's fair to say.
No, there's no one, large amount. There's no like $15,000, $20,000 check anywhere in there.
I don't believe that there were any significant amounts in terms of, you know, tens and thousands of dollars.
Mr. Day tells us that no one has come forward and leveled an accusation that their money has been stolen. Is that fair?
That is correct. But what I'll say is there have been many lawyers who have knowingly misappropriated client funds for which there has been no clients who have come forward. And the most recent decision that this court has written on in Henry Wade, very, very different facts, but in that particular case, there was knowing misappropriation of client funds. And Wade was disbarred, and she used client funds and put the funds back. So I can't sit here today and say that Mr. Day didn't take that $60,000 during that period of time and then turn around and get funds from somewhere else and pay those clients back out. So we haven't heard from them. That could be the reality of what's occurred here. I can't say to clear and convincing evidence that is what has happened here. I'm saying I can't exclude it as a fact pattern from an accounting perspective.
Thank you. Mr. Day, do you want to say anything in response to what we've just asked? Come to the center, please.
One additional. So many of these checks are during the audit period, and I did produce they require the disbursement journals, different journals, and I have produced those to the OAE from, I'd say, 2020 up to maybe 21. So counsel just said, no, that's not true. They haven't. This is the thing. When you say something, then it's a misrepresentation or, you know, misleading. But I have produced significant records as well. But you don't get credit for significant. It has to be all, you know. But the way you use a broad brush and paint it, like you're not cooperating, you're not, you know, doing whatever, that's unfair to the attorney side of the matter. That's all. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Sorry, stay for just a moment. You've told us that if you had 60 days, you could produce a substantial amount of records.
Correct, Your Honor. To the 20
to 22, I think you said.
Yes, they already have a significant portion of those. So the rest of it I could produce. Yes, Your Honor.
So I don't know when the court will rule on this matter, but you should be aware that the court would look favorably upon disclosure, but also look very disfavorably if that promise of getting materials within 60 days is not upheld.
I understand, Your Honor. Thank you.
Court's in recess for the day.